Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, if you've been lucky enough to visit Newgrange, you can attest to the fact that it's a very impressive structure. So you can imagine how much more impressive it would have been when it was first constructed over 5,000 years ago. Accordingly, it has often been assumed that those who were buried there were part of some sort of ruling class. But new research from UCD suggests that rather than being a grave for an elite family, the tomb was a social hub for the people frequented by travellers coming from as far away as Sligo. Dr. Niall Carlin is a lecturer in the School of Archaeology at UCD. I was involved in the research. Joins now, Neil. Fascinating stuff. So the general presumption around this is that it was very much, for the rich and you know, people with, you know, very long family histories of being attached and entitled and kings and kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Hi, Tom. Delighted to be here with you today to talk about this. Yeah. For nearly centuries now, that's kind of been the presumption, that because these were such large monuments and then the interior of them is much smaller, that burial, the access to these was restricted, and that burial then was also restricted to a small proportion of the population. Initially, some really important genetic work that was done by colleagues in Trinity seemed to reinforce that message. But myself and an international team of archaeologists, we kind of examined this closely. We integrated the genetic evidence, the archaeological evidence, and it seemed to produce quite a different picture.
So the genetic evidence is what's kind of changing it a bit, is it?
Yeah, yeah, really. Or I would say it's the close integration of the genetic and the archaeological evidence together that produces this much more richer, more nuanced picture.
Right. What was our feeling for what Newgrange had been?
I suppose it was this idea for a long time, definitely a monument, and not just a burial monument. I mean, it served many functions. We knew that it was a place where people gathered. Because there's only a small number of burials within that tomb, there was this assumption that this was about important people, important, wealthy elites.
How many people are buried in it?
There's just five.
Five?
Yeah. Well, we talk about a minimum number of individuals, so we would say at least five.
Okay. It seems like a tiny number.
It really does. And it's interesting when you contrast that to some of the other passage tombs, some monuments built in around the same time. In Sligo or Knockrow in County Kilkenny, you know, we have as many as 100, 200 individuals.
Yeah.
So Newgrange kind of stands out for the small number of people there.
And then on top of that, you have the fact that it lets the light in on the solstice, which suggests an enormous amount of calculations and engineering and awareness.
Yeah, absolutely. In a way, it kind of serves to illustrate the point that these monuments were about so much more than burial. You know, that their whole architecture is about ceremony. It's about facilitating ongoing interaction. And the light box, letting the light in on the shortest day of the year, relates to all that as well.
Yeah. So also the burials that are inside it, they do appear to be an elite, don't they? The clothing and ornaments around them would suggest that.
I think that was the thinking for a long time. But actually, when we think about it deeply, we see that when we look at the burials themselves, you know, it's a combination of burnt and unburnt human remains from adults, from children, from males, from females, and they're all kind of combined together. And so when we do find, I suppose, special objects with those burials, but because there's such a jumble or a mix, it's very hard to say whether any of these things were personal possessions. And again, I suppose, you know, really important when we think about these to recognise that when we're looking at a burial, it's not necessarily a mirror of what that person's life was like. You know, when we're looking at any grave, it's a composition. It's drawn upon aspects of that person's life, but more importantly, from the community of mourners. It's the community of mourners who place this person or part of their human remains into these tombs. And of course, also when we're looking at passage tombs, because the architecture of them facilitates ongoing access, we know that people were entering, you know, for centuries afterwards, people would enter these tombs, they would take bones out, they would put more bones in. You know, it was all about ongoing, continual engagement. And some of that, I suppose, is to do with remembrance, celebration, particular times of the year.
Right. So I'm fascinated by that. They're going in over the course of hundreds of years and it's still a small number of bones.
And you know, to some extent, it might be the case in Newgrange that over the centuries that some of those bones were actually removed, which could explain the small number.
So it doesn't seem like
number.
Burial really is the thing.
It's not exclusively or primarily burial. Yeah.
It's more that they want to have remains at the centre of this kind of building.
Yeah, very much so. And you see that in terms of that time, sometimes some human remains are almost kind of built into the fabric of the building as well.
Sure. And you were saying too that often you might only wear a suit once in your life, but you could be buried in a suit.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's just, again, this idea that just because we find certain artifacts with a person, it doesn't mean that those were necessarily their personal possessions at all.
Okay.
And, you know, exactly, you know, if you and I were to die anytime soon, we would probably, because it's our culture, we would probably be buried in a suit. But, you know, in my case, it'd be very rare for me to wear a suit. It's not how I normally dress or look.
Right. And stuff added as well. Yeah. So we said at the beginning there that it doesn't look now the way it might have looked. Have you any idea how it might have looked?
The monument itself? Yeah. It's a good question that's complicated to answer, because we know that Newgrange and other pastors' tombs like it, they were built over many different centuries. So what we think of as cumulative architecture. So initially it would have been a much smaller passage, a much smaller mound. And over the centuries, this is added to and added to. So when we visit Newgrange today, we're looking at a reconstruction. And that reconstruction is based upon the excavator MJ O'Kelly's understanding of what he thought it looked like at the time.
Okay, when was that? When was that?
So he did his excavations in the 1960s, and it was in the 1970s then that the reconstruction was put together.
Right. So you say that your new information based more on genetics is giving you a different idea of what it might have been used as. So what way do you think it was being used?
Yeah, so in terms of our interpretation of the genetics, What we saw is this really interesting pattern that, if you think about the Neolithic, this period 6,000 years ago when farming's first introduced to Ireland, that the first farmers were building quite small tombs. And in those small tombs, we were finding, they were a bit more familial, let's say. There was more evidence for people who were closely biologically related.
Sure.
But then, as we move through the centuries, you know, when we start to see, after 3600 BC, we start to see these much, much larger passage tombs like Newgrange being built. And when we look at the biological relations there, we see that these people were not closely biologically related at all, which is what you would expect if you were talking about some kind of a royal lineage or a dynasty. But instead, what the geneticists found was there is some distinct genetic patterning whereby even though the people in passage tombs aren't closely related, they are more closely related to each other than to the rest of the population of Ireland or Britain at this time. And so how we're understanding this is this fits with the fact that, you know, around this time that we see these large passage tombs being built, we actually see much more evidence for people being more mobile. And in many ways, if you think of passage tombs, they're quite distinctive in terms of they tend to be built away from the places where people were living.
Sure.
There were places where people were coming together at particular times of the year, like the midwinter solstice. They were coming together, they were feasting, they were burying their dead, they were celebrating, they were having parties. And as part of that, they seemed to have been choosing their reproductive partners. Other people, they were having children together.
Right.
And it's this idea that because the social networks have been more expansive, people are choosing their partners from within this kind of cultural group, the people who share their beliefs, share their worldview.
Is it a little bit like, dare I say, what was happening around Stonehenge to a degree?
Yeah, it is. It's quite similar.
Gathering and
yeah, that's a good comparison.
Very good.
Yeah.
It's fascinating stuff, I have to say. Thank you very much for that, Neil Carroll, new lecturer at School of Art College, UCD.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.